Good evening, walk in here. Welcome to this reading, this introductory account to fall asleep gently and enjoy a deep and restful sleep. If you haven't already done so, make yourself comfortable in the position you like to fall asleep in. Close your eyes and become aware of your breathing. The coming and going of your calm and tranquil breath that gently rocks you. Feel the touch of the sheets or the duvet. The sensation of diffuse and relaxing warmth that envelops you. Surrender and let yourself go to the calm, to the rest. This is where our story begins and the elixir of wisdom nestled in a lush and fertile valley. The kingdom of Gundalam had known peace and prosperity for generations. Its inhabitants lived happy days there, sheltered by the high mountains surrounding the land, sharing equally all that nature offered them. One day, struck by a sudden and strange illness, the men of this country blessed by the gods began to quarrel over the possession of lands, forests, springs, rivers, herds, and houses. Over time, everything became a pretext for endless disputes during which each claimed ownership of resources. These incessant quarrels poisoned the life of the kingdom and sometimes degenerated into violent conflicts that, if nothing was done to put an end to them, would end up plunging the entire country into chaos. Worried about seeing his kingdom descend into violence, King Gundal decided to send his son, Prince Didu, to seek advice from old Prachad. The man who in a distant era had been his most faithful advisor had withdrawn from the world to devote himself to meditation. He led a life of idleness, living alone in the middle of the forest in a remote part of the kingdom. Upon his arrival, Prince Didu was surprised to see that this man who had known the splendor of the court was now dressed in rags, living in utter poverty, and yet seemed to be the happiest of men. An aura of peace and serenity emanated from his person that impressed the young man. Sitting in the lotus position in front of his hut of branches, the old Prachade, who had known the prince when he was still a child, greeted him with his hand clasped in the center of his chest and asked him what had earned him the honor of a princely visit. The prince told him of the troubles that were shaking the kingdom and of the concern of his father, King Gundal, who had sent his advice to restore peace and harmony to the land of Gundalam. The old Prachade listened attentively to the prince's story. He remained silent for a moment, then finally replied that restoring peace and harmony would not be easy. The hearts and minds of men had grown dark prey to the demons of greed and cupidity. Fleo had descended upon the kingdom, carried by winds from the western lands. Only the elixir of wisdom could cure the subjects of the kingdom of these words that drove those who had contracted them mad. "Where can I obtain this elixir?" the prince asked. "You will have to find the Temple of Wisdom, enter it, and once inside, in its center, you will find a vial containing the famous elixir. If your heart is pure enough, you can seize it and bring it back to the kingdom of Gundalam. Then the light will shine again in the hearts and minds of men and peace will return," replied Prahlad. "Where is the Temple of Wisdom located?" the prince asked. "They say it is in a distant kingdom and you will have to undertake a long journey to reach it. Forget your status as a prince and travel like a simple merchant. Dressed in the most ordinary way, armed with a staff and a bag, the one who would now simply call himself Jadu began his journey. He walked for a long time, passing through villages and towns, asking here and there if anyone knew where he could find the Temple of Wisdom until an old man showed him a path leading to a desert where an imposing temple of carved stone stood. When he arrived there, he noticed many people bustling around the temple, busy studying its architecture and proportions, taking measurements, and searching for a correspondence between its cardinal orientation and the stellar constellations. All were engaged in learned mathematical calculations based on sacred numbers in an attempt to understand how the temple had been built. Each evening, these calculations and operations led to disagreements about their accuracy and validity, which led to endless debates that often ended in arguments. Yet, every morning, these people resumed their calculations and measurements. No one seemed concerned about entering the temple. After staying there for some time, Gidu asked one of them where the temple door was, as he wished to enter. The man replied that the temple had no door, or that if it did, no one had the slightest idea where it was. Gidu realized that these men could be of no help to him in his quest and he left the place immediately. He resumed his journey, moving even further away from the kingdom of Gundalam. In the heat of the late afternoon, Gidu arrived at the foot of a magnificent temple of white marble built on the banks of a river. He was pleased to see that it had a large door made of precious wood, and given the magnificence of the building, he thought he had found the temple of wisdom. Despite signs of recent occupation, the place was deserted. He took the opportunity to try to enter the temple, but the door refused to open. He then settled down for the night and waited. At daybreak, when struck by the rays of the rising sun, the marble began to turn pink and the temple began to be reflected in the mirror of the river. He saw 12 pilgrims arrive, dressed in white, followed by a crowd of pilgrims. The 12 bathed for a long time in the river, performing numerous ablutions. Once their purification ritual was completed, they settled into a meditation posture in front of the temple door and spent the day there without moving. At sunset, the gentle ones got up and left the place, giving way to anger, cursing and threatening each other, followed by the crowd who seemed to take sides for one or the other. As this happened every day, Gidu finally asked a pilgrim what was going on. The man replied that an old legend said that if a completely pure soul meditated in front of the door, it would eventually open. But before the door, which invariably remained closed, every evening he reproached himself for not being pure enough, for having coveted riches, for having indulged in games of chance, for having consumed impure food, for having defiled himself in one way or another. "And what was inside the temple?" Gidu asked. The man replied that the legend spoke of gold coins and precious stones. Gidu realized that these men would be of no help to him either. He left the place and resumed his quest, which took him so far that he sailed across seas and oceans. Having recently arrived in an unknown land, he asked everyone he met along the way if they knew of the Temple of Wisdom. A beggar showed him a path leading north. He took it, and one morning, he arrived in front of a building made of rock crystal through which the light passed in multiple rainbows. In front of its door, monks were chanting sacred formulas that resonated in crystalline tones. He was captivated by the beauty and harmony of the place and thought he had finally reached the Temple of Wisdom. However, when evening came, once again, he witnessed scenes of disputes and disagreements between the monks, who accused each other of not chanting the sacred formulas correctly, of not respecting the rhythm, and thus preventing the door from being opened. Didu learned that the temple housed relics that belonged to a great sage. But nothing concerning a possible elixir of wisdom. Disappointed, he moved on once more and continued on his way, tirelessly pursuing his quest. He visited many other temples, each more splendid than the last, without ever managing to penetrate inside. One day, he arrived at a very old stone temple, much more modest in appearance and dimensions than all those he had visited so far. And he regained hope when he thought that he had perhaps made a mistake in favoring the most prestigious buildings. Did not wisdom go hand in hand with humility? There he met an old man busy deciphering mysterious signs engraved all around the door. The old man told him that it was a very ancient script dating from a vanished civilization, and that the formula for opening the door was hidden there. Didu asked him what was inside the temple, the elixir of long life, the one that gives access to eternal youth. "And I intend to seize it, because I am already very old and death awaits me," replied the old man. Seeing that the old man was seeking immortality and not wisdom, he left the place once again. His journey had now lasted for years, and Didu had to face the facts. He had not managed to find the Temple of Allah. He decided to turn back and return to the Kingdom of Gundalam. With a full beard, long hair, and threadbare clothes, he went as soon as he returned to the old Prachade, who was waiting for him in front of his hut made of branches. Mortified, he announced his failure. His journey had taken him very far. He had visited many temples, but nowhere had he found any trace of the Temple of Wisdom, and had therefore been unable to enter it to collect the precious vial of elixir. Archaud informed him that the rumor of his hasty departure had spread like wildfire and that everywhere it was said that he had fled the kingdom out of fear, that these most radical subjects were about to overthrow the throne. This announcement plunged the prince into great sorrow. He lamented his failure and his inability to bring peace and harmony to the kingdom. At that moment, Prachad declared to him in a voice of mysterious vibrations, "Prince Didu, you are already in the temple. You have always been in the temple. You are the temple." In that instant, the prince experienced spiritual awakening and realized wisdom. Tears of joy rolled down his cheeks. Old Prachad hastened to collect them in a flask and thus gave him the elixir of wisdom. He advised him to organize a great banquet in honor of his return, to invite all the subjects of the kingdom, even the most humble, to pour a few drops of the elixir into the wine that would be served to them and to make sure that everyone drank a glass of it. "Good drink." The prince did as the old sage had recommended. And at the end of the banquet, when the sky was studded with stars, it was unanimously decided to return to the law of the ancients, that resources were a common good and that from now on, they would be shared equally among all.